Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Friday edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Evan on the board. The big guy is off doing very important things this Friday afternoon, getting some servers lifted into the right position and whatnot, and doing all the hard work here that the Civic Media Network requires of the big guy. But we're happy to be with you on an F It Friday edition of Dueling Tangents. So we're going to go through a hodgepodge of Wisconsin headlines, and we'll be graciously joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up at 2:30. But if you'd like to share a tangent with me between now and then, 844-967-2789. We'll also take your tangents while Matt's here in studio in the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX 1580 AM. We're also broadcasting in the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air and Amory, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, news from the center in Richland Center, and WGBW in Green Bay. All across the state on Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, you can also download the Civic Media app. Evan, how you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Oh, doing okay, man. How you doing on the rebrand? You forgetting it all?
I don't think I've slipped up yet. The hard part is on the back end of things. So on the forward facing, I feel like we've done a pretty good job. Most of the previous brand, we won't mention it just to confuse anybody. But most of that's been cleaned up and taken care of. But on the back end of things, call signals linger.
Yeah,
in places where you don't see it every day, and it's kind of that throws me off a little bit more, because then I'm translating for what the former letters were to the current letters or vice versa. But I'm feeling pretty good about Mad Radio. I'm a big fan of the logo. I think it's going to be really exciting what we do for 2023, both here in Madison and Civic Media as a whole across the state of Wisconsin. And I think for the most part, I haven't slipped up. WMDX is pretty easy.
Yep. So. Yep. Better than WTTN. I don't know. We're not in Watertown. And we have that wide market appeal. You know, we're not scaring the normies like we used to.
That's what, you know, some of that message testing signaled to us. So, yeah, we're good with it. We're excited here in Madison, growing that brand, Mad Radio 92.7, 1580 WMDX. And it's kind of a wild array of stories that I want to get to. We've had a pretty busy week. The State of the Union address covered statewide here by Civic Media on Tuesday earlier this week. Wednesday, we had the president come to town. There's been rolling announcements from the governor of what's going to be included in next week's budget priorities that he plans to present to the state. So we're going to have some fun here. And we'll do a little bit more of the homework-esque stuff when Matt Rothschild joins us at 2:30. But we've got some fun headlines to get to here. We've got the UW-Madison announcing that it is expanding its tuition promise to pay for housing fees in some low-income students. We've also got some updates about Foxconn and trains. So we're going to get to all these fun things. But one of the first ones that caught my eye, and this is a story that I thought was just fun, and I wanted to start here, Evan. I want to get your take, and anyone out there in the listening audience, if you want to share as well. Do you have a preference of Wisconsin sausage? Because the headline, and this is a story written up over at the Journal Sentinel, but I believe I first saw it at the Milwaukee Record, is who led me on to this story. But there's some disputes between what the official sausage of Summerfest is, Evan, and I was curious to know if you had a favorite, preferred Wisconsin sausage.
Well, when it comes to sausage, some things never change, and they shouldn't. And you have Jones Dairy Farm, based out of Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, a fine city. That's where I hail from.
Mm-hmm.
It's my hometown. And I don't know, they're a national brand. They're kind of a big deal. I used to do some
solid
work
brand.
There. Yep. They make fine products. I hope they're humane. And
always important.
Yep. But no, I would have to go with Jones because it's all I've ever known.
See, I grew up in the Milwaukee area, so a Clements sausage and the Clements racing sausage were almost like they were at school events growing up. They were at like work picnics for a random work picnic that you'd go to either for a family member or a friend of the family. You just see these giant racing sausages show up. And then Johnsonville, which is now the very big brand across Wisconsin, the Wisconsin company, is another good one. And I know everybody's got their own personal
those
preference.
Those are brats, man. Those aren't sausages. Those are brats.
A brat is a sausage.
But then you also have these hometown
Hang on. A brat is a sausage, though.
Oh, man. I don't know if we can
That's
get
what
into we're
the racing sausages. Like, come on. There's all different kinds. You can have the Italian.
Aren't
you can have the Polish.
Aren't sausages tasteless, though?
I guess I don't know the specific terminology there. No, I think a sausage still has a casing on it. I would be remiss if a brat is a sausage. It's part of the racing sausages, and my
entire. No, you're right. Bratwursts
I would
are
say,
a type of sausage.
You're gonna shatter my entire reality
but
if you try to tell me.
Not all sausages are bratwursts.
Correct. Yeah. Bratwurst is a subsector of sausages, and that's why I was asking what your favorite sausage was, because you can go many different ways.
I'm gonna shatter the zeitgeist here. There used to be a small sort of. I guess it was a meat market, but you know, you could bring your deer down there, get your deer processed, get cleared for CWD there, get your sausage, get your beef.
Pick up a fishing license, all those things?
Probably, honestly, probably, yeah. And they made some pretty incredible sausage and bratwursts. They really did. You know, they'd grind it all up and add the seasoning and fill the casing and do it all themselves. And
I'm blanking on the name right now, but the public market down in Milwaukee does an excellent Hungarian sausage. I cannot, Kelsey has picked them up before, but I don't know the exact name of the vendor, but terrific, spicy Hungarian sausage from the Milwaukee Public Market.
Yeah.
And
is it like an abattoir, you know, are they humanely slaughtering the animals?
I don't know any of the background on that one.
Sure,
it's just a vendor the public market, but, I've got a friend who works at Johnsonville. So we got a lot of Johnsonville products in the house. And I have to say, that's probably my preferred favorite. And it's now going to be the exclusive sausage at Summerfest. Summerfest announcing today that they are going to be adopting Johnsonville as the official sausage sponsor for the greatest music festival, or the largest music festival in the world. And I thought that was pretty interesting because...
Yeah, whose pockets are getting lined here, you know? who benefits? Cui bono?
Well, Johnsonville doing pretty all right if they're going to be sponsoring this. And Matt Wild over at the Milwaukee Record is who brought the story to my attention. And he called it the Summerfest Sausage Wars and gave a little timeline about what was going on surrounding the exclusive sausage rights at Summerfest. And in 2018, Clements became the official sausage of Summerfest on a 10-year deal and sponsored a new stage featuring Wisconsin artists. In 2022, Clements tries to terminate that contract only 4 years into the 10-year contract. Summerfest then sues Clements for the unpaid money. And now here in 2023, Summerfest is dropping that lawsuit and naming Johnsonville the new official sausage of Summerfest. So the Johnsonville sausage is going to be what will be available at the Summerfest grounds, it sounds like.
Just corporate takeovers, you know? What about the little man?
Well, that was the weird thing for a while with one that we haven't discussed yet is Usinger's. Usinger's is great as well. You got some great smoked sausages over there. That's Bobby Uecker's favorite, voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. But there's tons of different sausage options, and Summerfest going with Johnsonville after a little... political drama, I would say, around the contracts of who is the exclusive sausage dealer for the Summerfest.
Now, is Johnsonville actually out of a Johnsonville?
No. Johnsonville is out of Sheboygan, I believe. Sheboygan Falls, Sheboygan, up near Plymouth, in that area of the state, I believe. I don't know the exact municipality that
sure,
is.
Sure, sure, sure. Sheboyganville Brats.
Sheboygan. Well, they like to go by the official Somerville or whatever of...
Yeah.
The official sausage of summer, and they are now the official sausage of Summerfest.
See, my real problem is I'm not a breakfast guy, you see. It takes me a little while to wake up, you know. Sausages, they're spicy, you know. They've got a lot of... They got intense
seasonings in them, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
that makes them good, though.
So I just don't eat them all that often. That's part of the problem here.
See, that's what you were, I think, telling me that brat didn't count because you immediately went to the breakfast sausage, which are terrific as well. I'm a fan of breakfast sausages. But
they're okay.
A nice beer brat or I think I'm more of an Italian sausage rather than a Polish sausage.
Yes.
But.
You have that tomato. It's not tomato sauce. It's almost like a tomato stew that you cook these things in. There's, oh man. See that? That's another level. You know? This.
And that's a good option too. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. There's so many different options for what kind of sausage you like. But Summerfest, going with Johnsonville over Clements after a little drama in recent years.
And that's the thing. For anyone confused right now, this is politically important. You know, this has...
It's an Effin' Friday, and this was the one that caught my eye, and I said, this is what I want to talk about. One of the things that did not get talked about while the president of the United States was in Wisconsin earlier this week that I had thought he might bring up was the fact of the expanding railways here in Wisconsin after the bipartisan infrastructure law that was passed last year. And it looks like Milwaukee is looking to, this is over at the Milwaukee Business Journal, the expansion of the Hiawatha and Airport train station in motion as state's 2050 rail plan eyes much more. So Biden didn't talk about it while in DeForest. I was really hoping he would say, hey, Madison, we're bringing you an Amtrak station.
Yeah, it was like State of the Union Part 2.
Right, that would have been great, but that didn't get included. But yeah. Milwaukee is looking to boost the current stations that it has and eyeing so much more, according to this piece over at the Milwaukee Business Journal. And for train-friendly folks like Brian and myself.
And
you as well, Evan. It's good news to see that we're going to be getting some investments in those train stations. We got a couple other smorgasbord of Wisconsin headlines that we're going to get to. If you've got a favorite sausage, want to share it with us, give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can share any tangent you like. Going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up at the bottom of the hour, 2:30. But stay tuned until then. This is Dueling Tangents across Civic Media.
You're Froman.
That's right. I'm Froman,
the sausage king of Chicago.
Everybody that calls in the next 30 minutes will also receive absolutely free my new sausage making attachment with spices and casings included.
It's terrific.
But not actually, though.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. Just a slight disclaimer, that is not our clip. That's just a nice little fun drop, because we don't have any attachments to give away, so sorry.
No spices, no casings included.
No, none of that included, but tangents included here on Dueling Tangents, Cross Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Before we head over to the phone lines, just put in a bookend on the sausage story. Johnsonville CEO was at an event with Summerfest unveiling the sponsorship agreement between Johnsonville and the music festival. And they said that they were no stranger to sporting events. They're also the sponsors of the Milwaukee Brewers. So going to be continuing that relationship with Milwaukee, sponsoring the sausages at Summerfest. The Milwaukee Bucks also on a tear right now. Would be remiss not to discuss them. 9-0 since Chris Middleton's return. They have not lost a game, defeated the LA Lakers last night. And Giannis Antetokounmpo just continuing to destroy and make his case for MVP. But let's head over to the phone lines because somebody wants to set the record straight, apparently, on the sausage conversation. We got Mike in Sheboygan. Mike, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Oh, you two guys are in trouble with Charlie Behrens when he finds out that you don't know where Johnsonville is.
I said Sheboygan Falls. I looked it up in the break. It's Sheboygan Falls.
Well, he knows that Jolly Good Soda comes from Random Lake, but you two townies don't know that Johnsonville is from Johnsonville. You know, kind of like the rural part of Sheboygan Falls there north of Plymouth. Hey?
You've been working on that. You're leaning into that one real good, Mike.
Well, if you grew up in Sheboygan, you talk like a townie too. And there's other good brats up here, Meesfeldts and a bunch, a whole lot of others, but, you know, follow the money. If you looked at the Super Bowl years ago, you could see the Johnsonville brat trucks out in the parking lot, 18-wheeler grills, and so this was just a matter of time, I guess. Not my favorite brat, unless they're your sponsor, and I don't think they are, so I'll just say there's better ones out there, but they got the most bucks.
Yeah, they definitely seem to have the money to be throwing around these sponsorships. I believe they also sponsor Bratfest here in Madison.
Yeah.
So the world's largest brat festival, also being sponsored by Johnsonville. So they are slowly picking up all of these really big events like Bratfest and Summerfest.
Now, if my neighbor Tony is listening kind of mad at me for dissing his employer, he's the art director at Johnsonville. But he's down in Florida, and I just plowed your driveway last night, so I don't want to hear any complaints.
There you go. That's even then.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. You can be like Mike, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent on sausages or any Wisconsin headline that you like. But it is very interesting to see I just didn't know that there was beef, I guess, between sausage companies and Summerfest for a little while there.
Nice.
Clements, you know, wanting to terminate that contract. Summerfest saying, no, not so fast. And then they mutually agreed, and all of a sudden Johnsonville swoops in and gets the deal. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, producer Evan on the board, you on the phone lines. But we'll continue over with a couple of other headlines. One I touched on earlier, UW-Madison expands tuition promise to pay for housing and fees for some low-income students. This is written up over at the Wisconsin State Journal. And this is a program being expanded that was previously announced in recent months about how UW-Madison was essentially creating the tuition promise. It's the Bucky's Tuition Promise Program. And it is being expanded, according to Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin, announcing on Thursday night at the Board of Regents meeting that took place. And the goal of the program is to help alleviate the disadvantages students from low-income families frequently face. The assistance is only available to in-state students, and no state funds are used for either the Pell Pathway or the Tuition Promise, noted in the story over at the Wisconsin State Journal. So some relief coming for students that need it here at UW-Madison.
And boy, do they need it. It's intense. We're in rough shape as far as tuition costs go.
Yeah. You know? They have exponentially risen in recent years, and the fact that there are organizations, including here in Wisconsin, like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, that are preventing debt relief from tuition for the Biden administration, looking to extend it $10,000 for all student loan borrowers, up to $20,000 in forgiveness for Pell Grant recipients.
It's huge.
And so programs like this and debt relief programs as well, very, very much needed. Good to see that the program here at UW-Madison is expanding it to add on other costs like housing and other fees outside of just tuition, because there are a lot of subsequent fees that come with seeking higher education. And so it's great to see that the university is expanding this program. Let's head back over to the phone lines real quick before we head into the next commercial break. We got Falcon in Madison calling in. Falcon, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Hey, hope you guys aren't tired of sausage talk. Sausage talk.
No, bring it our way.
So, proper Sheboygan. Oh, and yeah, there, I can go back to that. Oh, we took the boat down to the lake. I can go back to the accent if I have to.
Oh, but
all right, so let me tell you a quick story about the original Bratfest, Bratwurst Days in Sheboygan. It used to be a contest, and all the local people would come in there, Johnsonville, Meesfeldt, Stemmerding, Colt, Polk, there was a bunch of different ones. And guess what? Johnsonville never won. It was never Johnsonville. They never got the contract. I don't know how many years back now, they basically just drove up with a truck full of money and said, hey, make us the sponsor of Sheboygan Brat Fest.
That's what I'm saying, man. Qui bono. Look to the one who benefits.
They just bought their way in. But it used to be fun because it was literally a contest to pick the best brat, and then whoever won the contest got the contract.
And Falcon, are you a fennel man or a non-fennel man in your sausage?
You gotta have a little bit of fennel in there, but a fennel is more an Italian than a brat, I would say. I don't know. I only eat a couple a year, even though I'm from Sheboygan. I'll probably lose my Sheboygan badge at some point.
Well, we appreciate the call, Falcon.
The hard hitting reporting.
Yeah, it is. Too much fennel is a problem. I think a little fennel is good, but it depends on how you like your sausage. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Got Evan on the production board, and here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, joined now by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, how you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Doing well, Luke. It's good to see you. It's nice to be in the studio.
Yeah, thanks for coming in this Friday afternoon. The big guy, he's doing a lot of heavy lifting. We've got a lot of things up in the air. So Brian, out, and really appreciate that you're able to join me in his absence. I know he wanted to be here as well. He always loves asking questions for the good governance that you work on over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But before we dive into that, let's follow up. Evan and I were discussing sausages the first half of this show because Summerfest, brand new sponsor, Johnsonville, going to be, I believe, a 10-year commitment for Johnsonville to be the official sausage sponsor of Summerfest.
Not a big Johnsonville fan. In part because the owners, if memory serves, were big supporters of Scott Walker back in the day. So that has stuck in my throat. I do have favorite. I got favorite brats. I'm a hometown Madison Regent Food Mart, Regent Co-op. Homemade brats.
Okay.
We raised our kids on those. Those were July 4th brats that we ate. And then also, I got to give a shout out to Fraboni's extra spicy sausage.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to go check that one out. I'm trying to think of, like, I know the Hungarian ones from Milwaukee Public Market are a local Milwaukee one that are terrific. I don't know if I've tried a whole lot of the local ones here in Madison.
Yeah, the homemade brats at Regent Co-op are great.
I'm going to have to try them out.
But Fraboni's, if you like spicy Italian sausage.
Yeah, I like to grind those ones up and then make like a nice little like ragu or red sauce with it.
Well, that's good that way too. Yeah. And it's just good on the barbecue with some, if you like.
Grilling them up.
Yeah, mustard on that spicy sausage.
There you go.
And I don't want to start a fight with people who put ketchup on it. I've been known to do that myself.
I think condiments are everybody's own. You know, just do it your own way.
People get religious about that, though.
I understand that. I feel like there's so many things to go up in arms over. I feel like condiments on a sausage or a hot dog.
I'll put everything on it. Ketchup, mustard, kraut, you name it.
Yeah, however you like to eat your food that way. I mean, the fights over condiments on sausages or pizza toppings are always, to me, just very, why are we arguing about this? I mean, come on. But really grateful for you to be able to stop here in the studio on this Friday afternoon. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today is I saw something that caught my eye, a couple things that caught my eye, right in the vein of good governance. And I was like, there's nobody better to talk to about these than Matt Rothschild. And one of them was this week, state Senate Democrats were renewing their calls on Robert Spindell to... what do we got there?
This is the letter you sent.
Okay, look, you brought it with you.
I did my homework, man. I always try to bone up for these tough questions you're going to throw at me. So this is the letter that they sent to Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu, all the Democratic state senators, and I'll just read the first two paragraphs, maybe a little more. Today, we're calling on you to remove Bob Spindell from his position on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Bob Spindell has been provided ample time to resign, but instead, he's doubled down on his anti-Democratic rhetoric, making making it even more clear that he's unqualified to serve as a commissioner. It recently surfaced that Bob Spindell considered lower voting rates among black and Hispanic people a political victory.
Mm-hmm.
Free, fair, and accessible elections are a cornerstone of our democracy, they went on, and anyone celebrating successful voter suppression efforts, especially in one of Wisconsin's most diverse cities, is clearly unfit to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I love that letter. So congratulations to the Democratic state senators. What I'm wondering is Lemieux going to do the right thing, or is he even going to talk about what he's going to do here? Where is the Wisconsin press corps here and buttonholing him like the guys on CNN do in the hallway in the state capitol and saying, are you still for Bob Spindell after his confession about racist voter suppression?
Yeah, the fact that this story hasn't been just continued to be hammered home and just asked of the majority leader of the state Senate over and over and over again until we get a response, because no response is not acceptable, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm hoping the State Journal reporters, the Journal Sentinel reporters, the Cap Times reporters, the AP reporters, Wisconsin Public Radio reporters, go knock on his door, Senator Lemieux. He's the guy who appointed Spindell. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who reappointed Spindell after it came out that Spindell was one of the false electors, false electors.
Yeah.
That should have been case closed on Spindell. And then he brags about this racist voter suppression that he evidently participated in down in the Milwaukee area, and then boasted about it to all his Republican friends in the district.
Sending out in emails. Just
there's some things you just shouldn't put in email.
Just patting himself on the back through him, though, too. He was taking a victory lap, and it's disgusting.
We should be especially proud. Those were his words. Yeah. We should be especially proud that they reduced the turnout by 37,000 in predominantly black and Latino areas in Milwaukee. It was just disgraceful, disgusting.
So outside of hoping that the Wisconsin press corps asks more questions regarding this situation of the majority state Senate majority leader, is there something that we can do as listeners out there in the audience? Can they contact the majority leader's office?
Write Senator Lemieux, text him, send him an email, call his office. You can also write letters to Spindell himself. That's spelled S-P-I-N-D, as in David, E-L-L, at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. When the Wisconsin Elections Commission has public hearings, you can do what I did the other day, which was go to the public hearing and tell Spindell to himself, at least via Zoom, that he did something horrible and should step down. We got to keep the pressure on. I mean, we can't abide by racist voter suppression in Wisconsin. I mean, this is Jim Crow tactics, and they were outlawed in 1965. So why are they here in 2022 and 2023?
Yeah, and outside of along with those very terrible tactics in 2022's election, he was, again, needs to be discussed, part of the fraudulent elector scheme. So there's
one of the false electors. And then Law Forward brought a petition to the Wisconsin Elections Commission,
which he sits on.
He's one of the six commissioners, saying that they should investigate the false electors for violating Wisconsin state law. And he was one of the six commissioners who decided his own fate. He didn't recuse himself. He was the accused, and he was the judge in his own case here. I mean, he's got no morals whatsoever, and it's just disgraceful. I got to believe that Majority Leader Lemieux is not happy with Bob Spindell, and I wish he would do the right thing. At least he's got to be put on the record about whether he's going to do anything or not.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so this is something that we'll continue to keep an eye on here at Dueling Tangents. We're going to be continuing to discuss it. Well, one of the other things related to the 2022 election, a piece I saw written up by Eric Gunn over at the Wisconsin Examiner, talking about corporate campaign cash setting a new state record, your watchdog organization reported on. So the amount of corporate campaign money spent in 2022 seems to have exceeded past records.
Yeah, it's another record. Every time we look at a race, we see the past records being broken. And a little context on this, Luke. It was illegal for 100 years for corporations to donate to political parties here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, Scott Walker and the Republican-dominated legislature changed our campaign finance law to allow corporations to give directly to the political parties and to what's called the legislative campaign committees that Voss runs and the minority leader Democrats run for campaigning. The most corporations can give is $12,000. to a political party, and then they can give $12,000 to each of the legislative campaign committees. There's a so-called safeguard, but it's a bogus safeguard. They say they have to go into segregated accounts, so it's not like they're paying for campaigns with this money. Well, you know, this money's fungible. If you give the Republican Party of Wisconsin or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin $12,000 and say you can't run ads with that, well, you can pay for the salary of the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. So that frees up $12,000 that you were using anyway,
yeah,
and throw it into ads. So that's kind of a bad joke.
So the combined corporate donations, it looks like, according to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign for 2022, hit $2.29 million.
And the Republicans knew what they were doing because they got a lot more of this corporate cash than the Democrats. I think it was 3-4-1, right?
Wow. That is, yeah, it sounds like the difference there was huge. And this was a more than a third increase from the last go around in 2018 for the gubernatorial cycle. So a lot more being pumped in. And yes, from the piece that Eric Gunn wrote up about your findings over the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, it looks like the GOP corporate campaign donations were far exceeding the ones on the Democratic side.
Yeah, so that's not an accident. I mean, there are in some cases where their rewrite of our campaign finance law in 2015 exploded in their face. For instance, they tore down the ceiling on what super rich people, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country, can give directly to the political parties. There used to be a $10,000 limit as to what any rich person could give to the parties, and now the sky's the limit. And so you have billionaires and multi-millionaires all over the country writing huge checks. And it just happens that Ben Wickler, head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, is better at collecting those big checks at the moment than his Republican Party counterparts have been. So the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has gotten more of those big dollars. But heard the Republican Party chairman complaining about it. He's got nothing to complain about. You guys changed the rules. You thought it was going to help yourselves. And it isn't helping you right now. But at some point, I think it is going to help Republicans because there are more rich Republican billionaires than there are rich Democratic billionaires.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe brother or some kind of relative of the Republican gubernatorial candidate here in Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, one of his relatives donated upwards of millions of dollars.
Yeah, this was an incredible loophole again. So the limit you can give directly to a governor candidate that you like is $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
They doubled it. It used to be $10,000. In 2015, the Republicans doubled it. Two of Michaels' brother gave $20,000 each to the Michaels campaign, even though Michaels said he was going to self-fund.
Oops. Right.
He just
didn't say which Michaels was going to self-fund it, I guess.
I guess he was getting scared about throwing so much money down the toilet and got his brothers to throw in some too. But so they did that. They gave the campaign $20,000 directly. Then they turned around and gave about $1.5 million each to the Republican Party of Wisconsin, which then turned around and gave $3 million in change to the Michaels campaign, turning the Republican Party of Wisconsin into a glorified laundry.
Yeah. If I knew any better, that sounds exactly what it was. And then, after it all, when he lost by a Wisconsin landslide, about 3.5 percentage points, his only takeaway was not, I wish I could have done something better to win. It was, I wish I could get some of that money back that I spent. And,
you know, super rich people hate losing any of their money. That's why they're super rich, I guess. But he didn't bother to look in the mirror and say, hey, I ran a horrible campaign. I gave a terrible speech when Trump was up there asking me to come back on stage. I mean, you guys were covering it. I heard it on your station. And he was just a bumbling fool.
Yeah, I would say not the best candidate, and Wisconsin voters recognized that and voted accordingly. Looking forward, we're going to be discussing a little bit. Let's save that one for the next segment. We got a state Supreme Court race coming up. But next week, before the primary on February 21st, we're going to be getting a budget address from the Evers administration on what his budget priorities are going to be for this upcoming two-year budget. Any thoughts on the kind of policy balloons that have been floated by the Evers administration so far this week?
Well, a couple of the balloons were marked green energy, and he's going to be proposing a lot of money to make Wisconsin a greener place to live and protect our environment. He's got funding for planting 75 million trees by the end of 2030 and having the government go carbon free by 2050. I think those are big deals. And then in the good government field. He already has said he's going to propose that lawmakers can no longer anonymously object to stewardship projects. These are projects where an agency of the government is trying to buy up some really important ecological properties, mm-hmm. and legislators in the Capitol can anonymously object and just put a hold on this purchase indefinitely.
Without reason, without tying their name to it.
How can that happen? We're supposed to have open government in this state. I mean, that's what democracy is about. Legislator can just, you know, quietly put a hold on it and say, don't tell anybody, but I hate this. Plus, there's a lot of corruption involved in that because maybe they have buddies who are in the real estate development area who want to buy up some of that pristine land. I mean, it's really ridiculous, and good on the governor for pointing that out.
We joked about that one yesterday. That's one Fighting Bob missed when he was cleaning up and making good government and open government here in Wisconsin. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Going to continue the conversation on the other side of this break before we head to the weekend. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, we alluded to it at the end of the last segment, but we've got a very important primary coming up here for the state Supreme Court. Spring primary being held 11 days from now, February 21st, Tuesday, February 21st. Folks, if you have not yet made a plan to vote, please go to myvote.wi.gov. You can see a sample ballot. You can find out who is all on your ballot for this spring primary, and you can make a plan to vote. In-person absentee voting started earlier this week, and you'll be able to do that up to next Friday, so a week left of in-person early vote, and then the election being held on that Tuesday, the 21st.
Yeah, and if you have your absentee ballots already, as I do, make sure you fill them out and put them in the mail early next week or physically deliver them to the clerk's office. That's what I'm going to do. And you got to make sure that you vote on February 21st if you're not going to do it early, if you're not going to do it by absentee ballot, because it's crucial. This is a ostensibly a nonpartisan race. So conceivably a nightmare from the political strategists on both sides is that the two candidates from the opposite side are the ones that come out one and two. And if you're a progressive, I know you're not going to want to see that happen. You're not going to want to see the two conservative candidates come out on top.
Right. And so it will be an interesting feel. It is a four-way primary, I feel like, is a very hard thing, especially here in Wisconsin with it. This is, for lack of better terms, the jungle primary, the open primary, that it doesn't matter for partisan affiliation. A nonpartisan primary here in Wisconsin just means the top two vote-getters of the primary move on. And so there are liberal and conservative-leaning judges running for this justice seat, and there's two of each. And it seems like the conservatives seem, for lack of better term, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area earlier this week saying that the conservative candidates in this race are kind of right on the precipice of freakout mode.
Well, they're going at each other's throats.
They're attacking each other very strongly, Matt, and it's hard to tell. There has to be, I got to be honest, there's got to be some kind of campaign information. The polling that these campaigns are doing internally has got to be showing, for some reason, these two conservative candidates needing to go after each other, because they're just doing it out in the open. And it started off kind of in just kind of standard political, but there's been a lot of jabs thrown back and forth since the start of this race.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun to watch, actually. I mean, Dan Kelly, former justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, bad candidate last time when Joe Kurofsky beat him, is trying to run again, is running again. Mm-hmm. He essentially called Judge Doro too stupid for the job. I mean, let's not mince any words here.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, he essentially said she was unqualified. She did not have the qualifications.
He said she was unqualified. He said anyone who has to read off a binder, which she did at the WisPolitics debate, and did look embarrassing when she was reading off the binder.
But, wasn't a great look.
Wasn't a great look, but I don't fault someone for being prepared. I mean, yeah. She came prepared for all the questions. I didn't think it was a horrible thing. It was a bad optic. But, you know, he's such an arrogant and unpleasant guy, which is, I think, one reason he lost to Jill Karofsky last time, that he couldn't help himself for criticizing for doing that. And then just this week, he said, Janet Protasiewicz, who's one of the liberal candidates who's got the most money, and I think Dan Kelly thinks she's going to win, he says, you know, you can say a lot about Janet Protasiewicz, but she's a smart person. You can't say she isn't smart, and we need someone smart to go up against her. So, again, he's calling into question the sitting judge's intelligence to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's quite kind of astonishing to watch Republicans doing their infighting, but I don't know who's going to win that. I mean, Judge Doro's coming off the very high-profile Waukesha Parade mm-hmm. murder case, which she thought was going to catapult her into, the early lead here. Dan Kelly has Richard Uihlein's money. This is the guy who lives in Lake Forest, who runs the Uihlein Corporation with his wife, Elizabeth. They're the biggest donors to Republican candidates around the country, one of the top two in the country, I think, and one of the biggest ones here in Wisconsin. And so Richard Uihlein can write unlimited amounts of money to outside groups who are going to support Dan Kelly. Of course, Richard Uihlein can only give $20,000 of his mountains of money.
But he finds
directly,
other ways.
But he can find other ways. Like last time they did the Wisconsin Truth Pack with Diane Hendricks of ABC Supply down in Beloit to smear Mandela Barnes in just mm-hmm. the most grotesque and racist way. And so I'm sure, Uihlein will find a way to run a dirty campaign for Kelly if Kelly comes out on top, but I'm not sure he's going to be one of the two survivors.
Yeah, it's very hard to see right now which way this is going to go. Brian, earlier this week, alluded to here on Dueling Tangents, talking about how we shouldn't discount the fact that Judge Jennifer Doro was overseeing the Waukesha Christmas parade, and there are a lot. One of the hard things to find out is who will be participating in the spring primary. This is an off year. It's an odd year election. It's in February. Some people, when I talk to them about this, are like, wait, we have an election day in February? What are you talking about? And so this is going to be a lower turnout race, and the amount of people, I have a feeling, that watched that trial, that saw the stardom that the Waukesha judge received from overseeing that trial, are also going to be a large portion of the voters in this primary. And so it is going to be interesting to see Kelly having the name recognition, running, was appointed to the seat originally by former Governor Scott Walker, and unsuccessfully ran for a full election in 2020, I believe. And it'll be interesting to see whether that statewide name recognition stacks up against somebody that oversaw such a highly popularized trial.
And you're absolutely right, Luke, about turnout. Turnout usually in these spring elections is really low. We've got a mayoral race here in Madison that's big, which may draw a bigger turnout. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening, you know, in your car or in your kitchen or in your office, and you want your voice and your vote to matter, this is an election where it matters more than most, because there's going to be so few people who turn out and vote. I hope everyone votes.
Yeah.
I'm not like Bob Spindello, who hopes the other guys don't show up at the polls.
No, we want everybody to.
I want everyone to vote. And make sure, you know, you do your in-person early voting next week if you can. Get those absentee ballots in if you can. Vote on February 21st and absolutely vote on April 4th as well. This is a time to do your Democratic duty, but also flex your muscles, because it's the one day where you got as much power as Richard Uihlein. When you're filling out that ballot, you got as much power as Richard Uihlein, the biggest donor to Wisconsin politics.
Absolutely. Levels the playing fields tremendously. On the primary election day, February 21st, polls will open. Believe I want to say they're open at 7 and go till 8.
Yeah.
So I'll definitively get an answer for that next week. I'm going to go to the library, I think. That's my plan. I like to vote early in person now. Did it at the Sun Prairie Library back in November, and I plan to do that again, I think.
You know, when I lived in town, I loved voting at Blessed Sacrament. I take my kids there.
And there you go.
It was a fun little ritual to do. But now I'm doing absentee because I'm old.
Folks, make a plan to vote. Enjoy the weekend. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Thank you so much, Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll see y'all on Monday.